The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
You may never know, but we are so grateful for what we do know, that you loved us enough to give your Son for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become acceptable to you, and we're so grateful this morning. And Lord, as we turn to your word, as we celebrate being your people together, I just ask that by your Spirit you'd continue to minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I want to encourage you to turn to the place in your notes to follow through, and as we share in the second part of a series that we've called Our Kingdom Life, which is introducing you to the motive of our discipleship program here at South Perth. And Rod began this for us last week at looking at the below the ground, the hidden issues that we don't see, the root system of any tree, and the aspects of our spiritual journey. Now, I think it's very, very easy for us to move aside central things. And this was brought home to me powerfully on Tuesday in our journaling when we were reading in the Old Testament from 2 Kings chapter 16. And in verse 14, Ahaz has come, and it just simply says this: the old bronze altar. You know, the old, you know, the stuff that's been there for a long, long period of time. The old bronze altar that signaled the presence of God, Ahaz displaced it from the central place and moved it off to the side. Just a little statement. And then I thought about that. The presence of God. Symbol of the presence of God. Just shove it over to the side. Let's move it away and put in a new altar that you have built yourself that has different symbolism and all the rest of it. And the implications are, if you read on, that that was indicative of what happened in Ahaz's reign. It was indicative of what happened in the Israelites. They just felt they knew better than God. And they began to do stuff God's their own way instead of God's way. And as a result, they suffered a lot of pain needlessly. They made poor choices. And the thing that the leadership of the church here has on their hearts is, how do we help form, how do we help you as God's people grow in your relationship with each other and with God? How can we help you grow as a disciple of Jesus? And that's why Rod spent the time that he did last week looking at what's below the surface. Have a look at it here. And there's three aspects to it: deeper spiritual responsibility, relationship, and spiritual life that Rod tackled. And I want to look at some questions Rod asked us. He asked us, do you desire a deeper relationship with Jesus? What actions are you prepared to take? I wonder if you've thought about that this week. If we love God, we want to grow in our relationship with God. How do we go deeper into our relationship with God? Well, friends, as a church, we might have a few hours in a small group. We might have an hour and a half on a Sunday, a little bit of fellowship either side of that. Maybe you have an area of ministry that you're engaged in. It's 168 hours in the week. Are you going to take personal responsibility for the rest? The time over which we have very little control or influence or we want you to be putting your roots down deep into Jesus. And that's why Rod asked that question. The second question he asked is, do you need to take more responsibility for your own spiritual development? Not just your relationship with Jesus and the disciplines that go with that, but now you want to grow as a believer. You want to grow in your journey with God, and you want to yield more and more the life of Jesus and the fruit of Jesus as you journey. Are you prepared to take more responsibility for that? The marketplace where maybe no one from the church is involved, it's just you and those people you're privileged to minister to in that environment. The third question was, who are you doing kingdom life with? It's a good question, isn't it? Are you in a small group? Are you meeting together with a small group of people? Have you got a mentor or a discipler, somebody who's journeying with you, or a peer group that can encourage you and keep you accountable? It's been one of the greatest blessings of my life, the last 30 years in particular, to have men who are committed to me and I'm committed to them. And I've got men who'll go anywhere and do anything for me, and I do the same for them because of the level of relationship that we've developed and trust and the kinds of questions that we will ask each other and help each other. Do you need to be discipled? Have you ever journeyed with somebody who will pour their life into you and help you grow in your commitment with Jesus? I was reflecting a few weeks ago about a group of young men who back in the 80s approached me to journey with them. And I looked at my schedule and I was travelling even more in those days than I am now, and away from home a lot. And I said, fellas, this is the commitment. I looked at my diary. I said, I've got Wednesday morning. We'll meet at 6. We'll meet through till 8. That'll give you time to get to your place. I'll provide breakfast, but you've got to be to my place. One of those guys lived at Wanneroo. You work out what time he had to get up out of bed to be there. But for 18 months, those five young men met with us. And we did a study of 1st and 2nd Timothy together. And we looked at the life of Jesus. Do you know every one of those young men today are engaged in full-time service for the Lord somewhere in Australia or overseas? They meant business. And they each had approached me and said, can we just journey together? Can we share together? And we just got into a covenant relationship for a time and said, okay, let's tackle the issues. And all the stuff that Paul raised with Timothy, we began to work through and hold each other accountable to, and then all the other issues that you raise in life's journey. Such a privilege to share on that basis. It's the greatest joy of my life. If God took away my ability to travel and all the rest of it, that is one aspect of ministry I wouldn't have to surrender as long as I had a voice. Was be able to sit with younger men, and disciple them and nurture them. And we have women who will do the same with the younger women. So this is the hidden life. You see, the life that you don't see actually determines the life that everyone else sees. You aware of that? Your journey with Jesus, this root stuff that we're talking about here, the below the surface, actually determines the quality of your journey with Jesus. And it's vital to our sustenance and our growth. You like me, sometimes you're travelling on the weekend and you listen to the ABC or 6PR is the other one I listen to, because they're talkback programs, both of them are. But they're the health, gardening programs. Sabrina, I think, is one of them that I listen to. I love her squeaky voice. And she's always seems to be positive and alive, but she just is passionate about gardening. And I'll never forget one day some typical Aussie like me rang up and this tree wasn't growing properly, and she says, where you got it planted? You know, she's got this funny voice. And he said, it's in a pot. And she said, what do you want the tree to do? And he said, I'd like it to grow and bear fruit. She said, take it out of the pot. Free up the roots. Let them grow. Give it some food. And you might just discover the plant's able to bear some fruit. Ah, says the bloke, you know, thick Aussie like me, as far as gardening is concerned. Did the same with a plant just recently. Oh, I can't say recently, 3 years ago. We took it out of a pot, planted it. It would never grown beyond a metre. That's all it was. It was in a nice big pot, never grown beyond a metre. You come to our place now and come into our drive, It's about 8 feet, still growing, you know, 2-3 metres, still growing, going into the neighbours, roots starting to knock up my tiles and everything. The reality, why? Root system, getting nourishment, growing, producing fruit, doing all the things a plant's intended to do because of what's happening below the surface. So your own inner life determines the quality of your life and the quality of your spiritual experience and your journey with Jesus. And we've got to take responsibility for that. Amen? Okay, so maybe a group, maybe a discipler, maybe a mentor in an area of your journey with Jesus, maybe some of the spiritual disciplines that Rod mentioned last week. Really, really important. You see, if there's no fruit, you question whether there's root, or you question what's happening with the root system and what's happening there. And that's below the ground. But guess what? There's no fruit without a trunk either. All right, you've got to have something to hang the fruit on. And the branches have actually got to be connected to something. If you don't have a trunk, you don't have fruit either, do you? And in the motive that we have here, which can be an olive tree, there's wonderful symbolism of that in Romans 11, or it can be just simply the vine that Jesus talks about in John 15. The reality is, friends, we need a healthy trunk. And the trunk is symbolic of the body of Christ, of the life that we have together as God's people. And it's very easy for us to undervalue or devalue the trunk. Because, I mean, you know, it's a trunk. Doesn't have fruit, doesn't have leaves. It's not very attractive. Not many people look at the trunk, you know. They look at other things, don't they? Like me, I can really tell the difference between an apple and an orange tree. Did you know that, guys? I can. Do you know why? An orange tree has oranges on it. Pretty good, isn't it? I go to the top of the horticultural class. Why? Because fruit is the outward evidence of the inward nature of the tree. And it flows from the roots, up through the trunk, out through the branches, and it produces fruit. And in this instance, the fruit, which Rod will talk about next week, is the Christian life and the fruit of the Christian life, the kinds of things that we engage in doing together and in serving together. And we want to equip you and help you in all sorts of programs and different ways there. The fruit is very easily produced. You don't see many trees suffering from a nervous breakdown, do you? The scripture doesn't say the branch produces the fruit, right? What's the branch do? It just bears the fruit, because it's the natural outworking of our relationship with Jesus. And it flows up through the trunk, through the church, through the body of Christ, and then has its release in our world. Now, when you look at this, it's a little bit like the jigsaw analogy. Have you ever seen a jigsaw where there's a piece missing? You might have a 1,024 jigsaw puzzle, and you have one piece missing. Isn't that a pain? You've lost it. One of the kids threw it in the bin. Something like that happened, and you've done all this work and you're looking in the box, out the box, everywhere else around the box. You want to complete your jigsaw and something's missing. Well, guess what? You are that something. I am that something, someone who can be missing from the body of Christ. Or the old analogy that we used to use years ago, take a coal out of a burning fire and stick it by itself. What happens to it? Goes out. Take that coal and put it back into the fire where it's intended to burn and provide some warmth, and it soon warms up and produces what it was intended to do in the fire. We need to understand the importance of what it is to belong to the body. So to highlight that, I want us to go to just one passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and just run through some verses where I highlight a couple of things for you. This is not an exegesis, it's not an unpacking of this whole passage, but the whole chapter is about the body of Christ and the gifts and the abilities that we have. Let's have a look at it. Verse 1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, I don't want you to be uninformed about the importance of the body this morning. In the same way that Paul didn't want you to be uninformed about the body and about your part in the body and the gifts that you bring to the table. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who is at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given for, say it, the common good. God has equipped you as one of his followers with one or many spiritual gifts. Some people have many obvious spiritual gifts. Other people have one minimum. The fact is God gives gifts, plural. It's good, isn't it? Now look across the row. Just have a look at the people to your left if you're sitting on the right, because otherwise you'll be looking at a wall. Or at your right, if you're sitting on that end. But look up and down the rows. Do you see anyone else just like you? Thank goodness. Hey? The reality is, we're all different. And we all have different gifts and abilities. And God has uniquely shaped us that way. And he's given us gifts and abilities for what? What is the purpose? The common good. Now, it can't be for the common good if we're not with the common, if we're not together. I shared with some of you this a few weeks ago, a month ago, how one of the Indonesian leaders, when he came to Australia upon his return and was sharing with a couple of us, he just said, I am glad I don't live in Australia. And he was coming from a particularly tough area of ministry. We said, what do you mean? He said, it's pretty good there. I don't see Aussies lacking for anything. In fact, they so don't lack for anything, they're always wanting more. And then he said, not only are they always wanting more, but they have so much, they don't see their need for God. And he said, I need God every day just to survive. I don't want to live in Australia. I want to live in a situation where I know I have to depend upon God. The temptations would be so great for me there. Now, I took that as an encouragement. I also took it as a word of warning for us. Friends, it's very easy for us to get complacent. And the reality is we should be a church that bucks the trend. What do you mean, John? What are you talking about? We should be a church that bucks the trend, that sees coming together as one body, not as an optional extra. Not as something that's an option, but as actually something that we are committed to do. Because there's strength when we come together, but when we are by ourselves, we're going to struggle. And we're going to struggle in our journey. And if there's one thing that Satan wants to do, it's to isolate us from the body. So we become a one in 2 weekers, or a one in 3 weekers, because that's an option. It's good going to church. Oh yeah, but I go to a small group. You know, I do that every week, every fortnight or every week. But the gathered body, I don't need to be there every week, and we play all of these rational games. The reality is, Paul says, you've been given gifts for the common good. So the part of the body to which we belong, we need to be committed to. And when I go in ministry, I don't think, I don't need to go to church. You know, I'm super spiritual. I can just stay in the room or with the family or in the hotel room, and I can just do church on my own. That's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Doesn't matter how long we've been journeying with Jesus, we're not meant to exist on our own. You see that? You've been given gifts for the common good. Let's keep going. Verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as He determines. He don't tell God and demand from God this gift or that gift. That's not what He has for you. We accept the gifts that He gives us. You can ask Him for the greatest gift. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 14. You can ask that you can prophesy, proclaim God's word boldly. It's one of the greater gifts. But the reality is God determines what gifts He gives you. And we are to use those gifts for the benefit of the whole body. So I ask you a question. You see, Rod will talk about this next week. But one of the courses we want to do, we want to help you discover your gifts, your uniqueness, your part, your destiny, your shape, so that you can serve the Lord together. That's part of Christ being formed in us, gaining a self-awareness of who we are in Jesus and what we'll enjoy doing the most as we serve Jesus with one another. And it's so important that we do that. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. You're not a little hand that thinks, oh, well, I'll wander off and do my own thing. So you're a hand. You have gifts of service. And so it's cut off and it sits on the table. How good is it without a body? Can you imagine taking an eyeball out, cutting it out, putting it on the table? How good's an eyeball disconnected from the body and the brain? Not a lot of good at all. It's actually got to be in something living. And God gives us gifts and abilities and He shapes us so that we can contribute. Is that easy? It's not easy, is it? Why? Because the church is imperfect. You know the old story, don't you? If you find the perfect church, please don't join it. Because if you do, you'll spoil it. All right. The reality is, we're an imperfect church made up of imperfect people, but we're all on a journey to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And we're going to help one another. And we're going to help one another in our difficult times. And in our good times, we're going to celebrate with one another and draw strength from that, as the case may be. But the fact is that we are meant to journey through the ups and downs with one another, not running away from that. Not running away from it. Whether you're Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Many. Okay, let's go on to verse 18. In fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, one body. See, Paul's underlining the fact that we belong together in our diversity. And there is always then someone who can meet someone else's need and minister appropriately to us. That's how it's meant to be. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you feet. I mean, how ludicrous. Great illustration. And then Paul says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you are a part of it. God has placed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, and miracles, gifts of healing, helping, guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. All different gifts and abilities. Now eagerly desire the greatest gifts, and I will show you the most excellent way. And he then goes on to a great chapter speaking about love, because spiritual gifts without love are a disaster. Spiritual gifts, charisma, needs to be controlled by character, by love, for it to have its greatest impact. Friends, I need you. You need me. Look at the person next to you and say, I need you. Or the person behind you, Nev. Look at a person behind. Look at a person the other way and just say, I need you. Lean forward and tap somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, I need you. See, the reality is, people, it's the kind of feel Paul's getting across in this passage. It's not always easy, but what he's saying is, I need you. We need one another. We're not meant to do this alone. We can't be a local church on our own. Vital globally, vital locally. We can't do it on our own. We need each other. And we're all called to do different things in this. And it's really important that we understand this. Let me just go through four things very simply. See, one of the things that we do together is we worship and celebrate together. And I call that corporate. It's what we do together in terms of corporate values, and there's something about corporate worship that you don't get on your own, particularly if you've got a voice like mine. You know, you need one another. Need one another. And there's another aspect to this, is that we are baptized into the body. Do you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that the longer your physical water baptism is separated from your conversion, the less significance it has, not the more. Because your baptism is an initiatory rite. It's what identifies you with the body of Jesus. The church, the body. The longest gap in the New Testament was 3 days. That was the Apostle Paul. It's the longest gap. I mean, the closer it's connected to you saying yes to Jesus, the better. Doesn't make you a Christian on its own. It's just part of becoming a Christian. And then we learn how to grow in our relationship with Jesus for the rest of our lives. And so my encouragement, you've been challenged over the last few weeks about this while I've been away. Don't put off, if you haven't been identified with Jesus and yet you call Jesus your Lord, obey him. Be baptized. Identify your life with him. And in so doing, you actually identify your life with the body of Christ, the church worldwide. It's part of its symbolism. Number three, we have a unique DNA as a church. And that DNA, if you look at those strands, and we spoke about this last year together, is really important. We talk about love. We talk about authenticity. Talk about a number of the things that are so important for us. Generosity. Our kingdom values and a commitment to the kingdom of God globally. We're not just a local church. We're seeking to respond to God on this basis. And these values are our DNA as a particular church in what God has called us to. Not every church is committed to all of these. They might be living amongst the urban poor and may have a whole set of different values that they are applying to their area of ministry. We're just seeking to be obedient to what God's called us to be. All right? Really important. And in a local church, that's something that we'll hold before you and we'll seek to be this. Be this together. We want to encourage you in prayer and in discipleship and in your journey with Jesus, etc. And then number four, membership. Not because numbers matter, but because people matter. And I've said through the years when people come to me and we're travelling around the churches, I've just said, hey, stop having an affair. Stop being a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Be committed. If you love the church, commit. I mean, these days with all the regulations, and we've got this in all of the countries that we're ministering in, we've got to go through certain things to enable a church to function. You cannot marry, you cannot bury, you cannot celebrate the birth of a new life and register a birth in India and Indonesia and the Philippines, for example, unless you're a registered church. If you just plant all these house churches, that's well and good, but it's a real problem when it comes to departing or hatching, you know, hatch, matched and dispatched. Those three aspects of ministry, it's a real struggle. And so you've got to look at the legalities. Well, it's the same here in Australia. And God has blessed this church with a property that the team, those with gifts and abilities, have been shaping, and we've got some exciting developments ahead of us. But friends, these things can't be done unless you have committed people. That's why we need a membership. And it's basically just saying, for as long as God has me here, I'm committed to this place and I'm going to serve God together. And there's no other tie that keeps us together other than the love of God. So if you're in that process, weigh it up. And if God's calling you to be a part of the family, commit. Come a part of the local church, which is representative of God's church globally. Amen? Really important. Some of you have been with us some time. Hey, commit. Commit. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized. If you've been baptized but you're not a member, become a member. No big deal. The fact is that we're committing to say we're going to journey together and we're going to serve Jesus together in this place, and we're going to help this church prosper and grow to the glory of God. Chintana last week reflected to Rod. And for a number of weeks, as a family, young family, they were isolated from fellowship. And he used a little expression that was really interesting. He said, you cannot thrive when you're away from the body. It's true, isn't it? Let me share one thing I've discovered. And this gives something away. But in 43 plus years of ministry and preaching the gospel, please hear me, never once have I seen a person thriving in their journey with Jesus who is not connected to a local church. To thrive and to grow in terms of your relationship with Jesus, you need to be committed to God's people somewhere. If not this place, we'll celebrate that you find a church somewhere that you can be committed to and journey in. That's not the issue. The issue is be committed to a part of God's local church so that you can grow and develop together. Can't do it. Quite honestly, friends, if this trunk over here is missing from your tree, you are not going to grow as a disciple of Jesus. If it's an optional extra, can you imagine a tree just saying, oh yeah, today the trunk, no, next week, no, the week after, no. Oh yeah, 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 let me connect into the trunk again. I mean, you are dead, baby. You are dead. You will not grow. It's not an option. We're meant to be connected to each other and growing together in fellowship. And as we do, we're able to support one another and play our part. So my encouragement is to connect to the vine. Let me close with these four questions as a personal response for you. How committed are you to the body? How committed am I to the body? It's a question only we can answer on a personal basis. How committed am I to the body? Think about how you need other Christians. Think about perhaps in your case how when you're isolated and you're not committed to the body, nobody misses you. And it's pretty tough when you're out there trying to live for Jesus on your own. Not as God intended. We're meant to have a group of people helping us, supporting us. And, you know, the writer of Hebrews had it right. He said, do it all the more as the day of Jesus draws near. Fellowship is so much more important. Do it on a daily basis so that you grow. Number three, think about how other Christians might need you. Yeah. God wants us to be givers as well as takers. And believe it or not, each of us have gifts and abilities where we can bless others, whether it's children or youth or young adults or whether it's our peers. God wants to use each of us to bless others and to impact other people. Number four, recognize Think about what you can do by yourself, and then think about what you can do with others in the body of Christ. What can we do together that we can't do on our own? Oh boy, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. I am so grateful for the men that I journey with who stand with me and pray for me. I'm so thankful for a team of 15 intercessors from America, New Zealand and Australia who pray for me on a weekly basis. And I send out a weekly prayer points very personally into our ministry. They've stood through me for thick and thin. One man sends me a little card. Little card, and in it he has 366 boxes. And some years he apologizes because he can't tick the 366 box because it's not a leap year. And you look at that card, and occasionally there will be a cross because he wasn't able to spend the time in prayer praying for me. How good is that? How good is that? You want people who can journey with you, brothers and sisters. So that today the Apostle Paul has reminded us we are meant to serve Christ by serving each other. In serving each other in the body of Christ, our needs will be met. God will always give back far more than we ever give. And we grow in our journey with Jesus. That's his plan for us. That's his desire. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Father, there's something about the act of just standing before you with our heads bowed, our hearts bowed. And I want to thank you for the brothers and sisters that are alongside each of us. And I want to thank you that we need them. We need each other. And my brothers and sisters around me need me. And I thank you for the gifts and abilities and services that you have distributed amongst us as gifts. And those gifts are given to us for the common good. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take responsibility for our own journey in you, for us to continually to take steps towards you, and for us to be growing in our relationship with you. And Lord, growing in our commitment to each other. Thank you for the joy of belonging to you. Continue to lead and guide us. And thank you for the week of opportunity that is ahead of us. We're looking forward to sharing together and doing mission wherever you have us planted. We thank you for that privilege. And Lord, we say thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.